You're listening to Arts ID, KRCB Showcase on Sonoma County arts and artists in all forms and flavors. Tonight's program focuses on storytelling from a personal perspective. Coming up next, stand-up comedian and playwright Dave Picorni wrote his first joke at the age of 17. From then on, he was hooked and he became a stand-up comedian, crisscrossing the country, performing in comedy clubs, until his daughter was born and he chose to be a stay-at-home dad. During that time, he vowed to write his own one-man show, and 15 years later, just last year, he performed based on a true story, his own story of life in the comedy world and beyond. Now Dave Picorni has a new project helping other people to tell their stories. He talked with John Moran of the Sonoma County Arts Council about his once-a-month showcase for personal stories, West Side Stories, in Petaluma.
So, you talk about stories. Your main thrust, or one of your main thrusts now, is a program that you hold in Petaluma at the Pelican Gallery, courtesy of Linda Possenrider. And it's called West Side Stories. What is this based on?
Well, it's based on the Moth in New York, to be quite honest with you. Right. Juliet and I were in New York. We took a trip back there, and we said, well, we're back here. Let's go check out the Moth. And the Moth is a storytelling group that started there, I think it was 1995, maybe, right, something like that. And it's called the Moth because of people sitting on a porch telling stories and the moth being attracted to the light. Yeah. Anyway, we went to the one in Brooklyn, which is the flagship there, and they have four different other ones. Three different other ones. They have Detroit, Chicago, and Los Angeles, and the Brooklyn one. And we were in Brooklyn and went, and there was 300 people standing out in front of this club to get in and see five-minute true stories live on stage. And not by professional storytellers, by everyday people, people who just dropped their name in the hat, which I happened to drop my name in the hat that night. I didn't get on. But the people that did get on, it was like the coolest thing. And 300 people just were riveted.
So how long ago was this?
This was about two years ago, I think.
And so obviously it impressed you, and you came back here. And did you just suddenly say, I've got to do this?
Well, what we did was we started, Juliet and I both looked up the Moth website, and they are still looking for other branches to have different venues across the country. So we found their mold, and we follow their rules, and we still hope to become one of those branches at some point. But one of the things they said is you needed to record it, and Petaluma Community Access comes in and records our show every month, and they play it as programming. And, you know, so I can plug that too. We won three of their Viewer's Choice Awards last year, our first year out there, which was kind of cool. And then we send the DVDs back to the Moth. And we're hoping to become their fifth brand.
Tell me what the format is.
Format is I go on stage to open the show, and there's a theme for the night. For example, just this past month on February 8th, seeing it's Valentine's Day very close by, we did Love is Blind as the theme. Now, you can tell a story about love. You could actually tell a story about being blind, or, you know, somebody that you love that is blind, or, you know, how you got blindsided by love, which is kind of what I talked about, blindsided by when my daughter was born, that I no longer, you know, my whole life, my passion was doing stand-up, and then she was born, and I didn't want to go anymore.
So you introduced it with a story.
I come up with a story, and I tell people the rules. They're five-minute stories. At 5 minutes, I will tap a little bell, tell you you have 1 minute to wrap it up, and they will come up. They will do. I know they will sign up beforehand when they walk in, and we usually get over 10 people to sign up, and only 10 people are allowed to tell stories. So every once in a while, people do not get on, but their story can be remolded for the next one.
So how long does it last in total? About an hour and a half.
Hour and a half. We start at 7:30, second Wednesday every month, just about nine. Sometimes it goes a little bit long because sometimes I'm long-winded. But in between stories, I have people in the audience fill out little forms, completely anonymous, and it's about the particular theme, and I get to get up there and read people's comments about the theme, and sometimes
they comment on the stories or what?
No, they're commenting before we hear the stories. They turn those in, and it's just you know, time killers for in between, because I pull somebody's name out of the hat and I hate for them to have to just run to the stage not knowing that they're going to be on stage. So I pull their name and they know that they're coming up. It gives them a minute or so to, you know, collect their thoughts and get up to the on deck circle by the stage there. And then I will read a couple of these little anonymous things that come from the audience. And sometimes they're really funny. Sometimes they're...
So people sign up.
People sign up. People drop a name in the hat.
And then you choose...
Well, you know what I normally do, and what I did this last one is I held the papers up in my hand and I asked somebody in the audience, pick a number between 1 and 5, okay. And I will just count out and I will pull that one out, and that person will be our next storyteller.
And these people have to tell stories. They've all got to be true.
True
they
stories.
Can't be fables or they can't
Well, they're not
be...
supposed to be. I'm not going to fact check them. So. But, you know, the rules are true stories.
So somebody said they were eaten by an elephant. You would... sort of know that.
I would sort of know that, and they would not be eligible to win the prize at the end of the evening. The best, or I don't want to say the best storyteller, because it's not always the best storyteller that wins. It's the story that moves whoever is chosen to pick a winner.
Right.
We pull a name out of a hat for that as well. And
so there's one person that picks?
One person, because you know that I don't know who's going to be there, how many people are going to be in the audience, and I could have 5 people in the audience, I could have 90 people in the audience, and I pull a raffle ticket out, and that person at that point says, I liked, boom, that one the best. And just for example, this last week, the story that they chose as the winner, I thought was a great story, but I thought there was somebody else whose elements of their story held with the theme much better.
So
and
is
I would
it the story, or is it the way they tell the story, or is it both, or what's the attraction?
The attraction is personal connection with people in the community, I think. I mean, the Petaluma West Side Stories is become really popular, and we get anywhere. I mean, it only holds, the Pelican Art Gallery only holds about 90 people safely, and we had 75 this last week.
Are they all about the individuals themselves? Do they always include themselves in the story?
I would say 90% of them do. Yeah, the most of them do. They're personal narratives. And
so what makes it not the most boring night you've ever spent listening to other people talk about themselves?
Well, here's the thing is we keep it on the theme and we keep it to 5 minutes. That's one good thing, because if a storyteller is good, 5 minutes is a nice, tight little story. And if the storyteller is not good, well, 5 minutes is all you have to wait, and then the next one will be up here. So it's not going to be – just relax, everybody. And the thing is, it's people reliving moments in their life. We've had somebody tell a story. The theme one night was water. And somebody told a story about swimming with the large sea turtles. Mm-hmm. And somebody else told a story about falling in a glacier. And somebody else told a story about this belly flop that happened to them. And somebody else told a story about being a lifeguard and having to save somebody. And so it's that personal connection. And it's people have lived these stories. And other people in the audience have a connection to this because it's true life. It's not slaying dragons. This audience has come to hear people's life experience.
Right.
And it's the audience has been cultivated over, 14 months now we've been doing it. And the audience knows what they're coming to get.
So is this a cathartic experience for these people?
I think it is for both the audience and the storyteller. We had a woman, the theme was luck, and she came up and told the story. It was about bad luck. It doesn't have to be about good luck. It's bad luck. And she told a story on Father's Day, how she was out with her father, and they went to – he was a bouncer at a bar or a bartender as well, and they ended up back at the bar where he worked. And he went to break up a bar fight, got hit in the temple – and died right there on the spot. And this, she was almost in tears when she was telling the story, and the rest of us were on the edge of our seat. And when it was all over, everybody, I mean, 75 people wanted to give this woman a hug. It was the greatest thing. It was cathartic for her, and the audience felt this empathy for her, and it was fantastic.
If you go to a show, if you go to a play, if you go to a concert or something, you get out, you might talk about it, but generally it's over, it's finished. Does it kind of tend to go on a little bit afterwards?
People stand around in there afterward and they talk about the specific stories that they just saw. Then I go to work and I'll
have
people.
I just thought of something.
Yeah.
I just thought of something. This isn't like an AA meeting. Is it?
No, it's not. It's really because it's based on the theme. It's not people coming up there and confessing to you. It's this last time a woman told a story, and I just thought the story was just fantastic. And it was Love is Blind, and she talked about finding out that her son was autistic and how everybody around her seemed to know, but she didn't. And at the end of the story, one of the final lines was, love truly is blind, because everybody else saw that he was autistic, and all I saw was this beautiful little baby boy. And it gives me chills right now to just think about that story. And it was so good. And everybody was just riveted to her. And she told it so well. It was really well done.
So what do you hope that these people get out of it?
Audience or storytellers?
Both.
Well, I really like about the storytellers, and we have some storytellers that are regulars, and one, for example, she actually, Leslie Scatchard, went back to New York, and she went as a trip. She didn't go specifically to go to the Moth, but she said, when I'm back there, I'm going to go do it. I'm going to go to the Moth. And she dropped her name in the hat. And for the first half of the show, they do it a different way for winner. They All right. do a scoring system. And for the first half of the show, she was in the lead. And somebody ended up taking it away from her at the end. So she came in second for the night. Now, this is a woman from Petaluma who – all of a sudden, when we started doing this storytelling thing, she told a story. And now – she is in New York on stage telling a story and almost winning the event, the Story Slam. So that, to me, was really fulfilling. I hope that people want to continue to tell stories. I hope that they just have a good time doing it. And I also hope that it really is bringing the community together. I don't think I'm going to be the mayor of Petaluma or the Pied Piper or anything like that, but I do think that every community needs a central connection, and this community is getting connected by doing this. And when times are hard, like they are right now, knowing your neighbors, which is exactly what's going on in there, is everybody's getting to know each other and supporting each other, whether they're telling a funny story or whether it's a heart-wrenching story, they're getting to know each other, and it's community support for each other. And I really hope that we can branch out. I hope to have a line standing out in front of that place that we can't accommodate those people, right, and we have to move to a bigger venue.
So when does West Side Stories play?
It is the second Wednesday every single month at the Pelican Art Gallery.
And what's the address?
143 Petaluma Boulevard North, and it starts at 7:30, but we take sign-ups. We open the doors at 7, and people start signing up to be storytellers at 7.
West Side Stories is a good story, and it's obviously very successful. I wish you luck with that.
I appreciate it.
Hope it expands, and I hope you can do it as much as you want, wherever you want.
I appreciate it. And by the way, it's only $5 to get in, folks. That's the whole thing. We're just trying to get the community together. So $5 is
$5?
All you're going to...
$5?
We do at least $6 worth of entertainment. I'm telling you.
Thank you, Dave Piccone.
Thanks, John. This is going to be Ricky. You are going to be the first one up tonight. Coming to our stage right now is a very first timer. So will you give a huge Petaluma round of applause to Ricky Freitas?
I don't know. I'm a steady nut.
Hi there. I'm probably the youngest adult here, which is A-okay with me. So my luck is not good luck. I will start off. My name's Ricky. I'm 21. I live in Pengrove, but I'm originally from Merced, California, which is central California, middle of nowhere, agriculture, hot. You don't want to go there. But I grew up there, and my family owned a bar on and off for 30 years. And in 2002, my father was managing the bar. That weekend, we held... actually, locally, there was a wakeboarding competition, and our bar was sponsoring it. So after the wakeboarding competition, that evening, everyone comes out, and we have food and drink and live music, and it's just like this big shindig, and it's right downtown, just like this, and lots of people showed up. And it's a bar. There are issues. So there my father is managing the bar, and there's a dispute between a woman and a Hell's Angel from the biker group. So my father goes over and, you know, helps diffuse the situation and goes on about his business. But then, a few minutes later, he's called over. Hey, Rick, come here. So my father goes walking over to this man he's seen a couple times, being, you know, so well known and so many people that come through the bar. My family was very well known. So my father comes over, and without warning and without provocation, it takes a blow to the head. One punch this man dealt to my father here in the temple, and he was gone forever. That one punch. So luck has it that that night, Tony Aquino, a tag-along, a wannabe, decides, I'm going to prove myself tonight. I'm getting in this gang tonight. And luck has it that my father is the victim. And luck has it I never have a father again. I lose my one and only parent for the rest of my life. And I'm 13. Worst part, it's Father's Day. So to that, my luck sucks. You, luck, you suck.
Nicely done. Thank you. How about one big hand for Ricky right there?
We heard Dave Picorni's West Side Stories. That was Ricky Freitas telling her own story. The next episode of West Side Stories is Wednesday, March 14th, and the topic is Carpe Diem, Seize the Day. Thanks for listening to Arts ID on KRCB Radio. We heard from playwright Rebecca Miller talking with Susan Swartz, David Templeton's true story of pursuing his first love, Pinky, and Dave Picorni and West Side Stories. I'm your host, Robin Pressman. You can find Arts ID on our website at krcb.org.